The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we come back from the weekend into a Monday. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing good. The top story out there, and the everybody I'm sure is wondering about this. The Willendas took zero risk.
Nothing happened.
Yesterday, over Times Square, they took zero risk. They were able to balance.
Yes. The Willendas. Okay. The optics of it, I'm looking at some of the still shots from ABC 7 in New York City, and it's Nick is in, you know, basically everything with Nick's apparatus is in the shot, including his harness, which is tied to the cables above. Okay. Okay,
we are completely untethered tonight at Red Eye Radio, yes. Just so you know.
There are no guide wires.
Zero
guide wires.
No harnesses.
Yes. This just in.
No Red Eye Radio harness.
This just in, the Willendas apparently are not drunk. They managed to balance on a wire. All right.
I think that's the New York State law, because yeah. The same thing when he did Niagara Falls. Remember that a couple of years back?
Yeah. Right,
and the thing that was cool about that, even though, again, it was the same thing,
mm-hmm. is the scenery
was just
unbelievable. Because it's dramatic looking below it.
Yes.
Now, it's also dramatic looking up. But when you see the picture here at the front page at ABC 7 on this story, it's got the harness on. And it's linked, and there's these, it's not one, it's two safety wires above them. And so here's my question. Would they have attempted that without those items in place?
Yes. Remember, he did the Grand Canyon.
Well.
Remember, he crossed the Grand Canyon without anything.
Would they have done it in New York City?
No. Yeah, they won't. Right. That not in New York State. I think that's. Where it was New York State that came up with the law.
Would they have done this in New York City if the rule weren't in place or the law?
Would the Willendas have done it?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't put this on the Willendas.
Okay.
He crossed the Grand Canyon.
Okay. I guess here was my question.
No, it wasn't the Grand Canyon. It was some other.
It wasn't the Grand Canyon.
No.
That would have taken a while.
Yeah, where did he go over?
Was it the Snake River Canyon? Was it the same one from? Same one from Evel Knievel? Okay, I asked the wrong question. Why did you do this with the guide wires? I mean, you're getting publicity for your act, I guess. But here's my question beyond that. They're the Flying Willendas.
Yeah, it was Grand Canyon.
Okay, it was?
Yeah.
All right. It took 27 days. It took a while. Because the optics of it are just funny, frankly. And again, I know they don't make the rules, but would there be something else? Is there any other kind of high wire act that you would do? Here's the good thing. They're not the falling Willendas. They're the flying Willendas. And they're nice and safe. But I just, the optics of it all, I just.
Well, it is humorous because there's all this tension. It's like, well,
there's no tension. There's zero risk of them dying.
This stress and tension. And
there's very and little the, risk
right,
of them
the,
dying.
And the building up to it and everything. It's like, well, no, they're.
People want to tune in only if there's a chance they're going to die.
Well, and that's the other thing. Well, did they carry this one live? Because when you have all the safety features and you know nothing can happen, or is that on a tape delay too? Oh, we can't show him slipping and being held up by the...
Right. Look, okay. It's a balancing act.
Right? Yes, that's it.
It's a balancing act. Did they do it without having to use their safety wires? Yes.
Yeah, so, I believe they would have.
To that extent, they passed the first stage of the roadside sobriety test. It's just funny looking at the photo with him tethered to the safety wires. It's the optics of it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they moved to say to the regulators or lawmakers, whatever, the authorities, can we do something to where it's not so obvious on the safety wire? You know? I mean, you know, because, again, because of the lights coming from below, you see everything.
In 50 years when nobody takes any risks.
Right.
They'll be in a studio on a pretend.
Yeah, on a pretend it, with it, a green
be,
screen.
Right. It'll be virtual tight roping.
Right.
Yeah. And everybody will be tuned in. Can he do it?
Right.
Well, he's on the tightrope just 1 foot above the floor, but the scenery behind him is he's tightroping over the crater of Mount St. Helens.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
He could drop into the molten, even though there's no molten lava, but or Kilauea.
Yeah, right.
He's tightroping over Kilauea. He could fall into the molten metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in a studio.
Yeah.
But you don't.
Yeah, but it looks good.
But it looks good. It looks like he could fall into the molten metal.
Yeah. Look, you know, for a show to get, and this is, it's all about the show, right? But for the show, you know, look, over Times Square, okay, yep, that's where you do it.
I know, over
Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I know a buddy of mine who's a TV anchor in Florida.
Mm.
And they put a crew up there to cover it. He was up there.
I'm like, all right.
Really? Good
for them, right? I don't follow the Willendas. If you're in our age group, they've been around, the family's been around forever. I mean,
right.
You know, and so you follow that. You follow them. The Flying Willendas. They still call them the Flying Willendas?
I don't know.
The joke, the Falling Willendas or whatever. But, you know, I can see on a high wire, if you're at a circus or something, right? But even then, they have the trampoline below. They have the mm-hmm. safety net below for the trapeze artists and everything else. So, I don't know. It's just the optics of looking at him tethered to... In a very secure way, walking across that wire, it just didn't really work to the fullest.
No, Niagara Falls did because it was Niagara Falls.
Well, and it was the shot down.
Yes, that shot over looking down.
Because here's what I'm saying:
at the falls was like, and I grew up there. I mean, somebody posted a picture the other day on Facebook. I had forgotten about it. I didn't know there was a picture of it, but there's a picture of me back in, it has to be 87, 88, doing the first ever live broadcast from the Maid of the Mist, which is the boat.
Right.
And the reason it's the only live broadcast is nobody could ever get a radio signal out.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because it's down in the, you can't get a radio signal out, and this is before cell phones.
Right.
So you
and
you,
before Bruce Almighty
and before yes, but I did it before Bruce. I did a broadcast before Bruce Almighty. By the way, when I saw that, somebody a friend of mine who was a TV anchor at that TV station, WKBW in Buffalo, New York,
where
Jim Carrey supposedly worked.
Right.
And when I saw that, I called her and said, "Jim Carrey's living your life."
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Because at that time, she wanted to be an anchor, and she wasn't getting the anchor. And she eventually did become an anchor, but she didn't at that particular point. And,
right.
And then I thought about it, I said, oh, wait a minute. The Maid of the Mist is me because he did that. But the reason we're able to do it is because the station where I worked, my first talk radio job was in Niagara Falls, at a station called WJJL. Mm. And so they were... less than a mile from probably, I'm going to guess 1,000 feet from the actual gorge. So our MARTI antenna went way up in the air, the radio signal. So we could put that little portable thing down in the Maid of the Mist, probably a mile and a half away, and shoot it right up and catch the antenna. It was able to, you know, the signal was able to get to catch the antenna. Mm-hmm. And we had tested it, and it worked. And we said, all right, let's do the first ever live broadcast from the Maid in the Mist.
Right, yeah.
And and I did it without any tether or anything.
Right. No safety harness.
But here's the thing. It's the only time I've ever been on the Maid of the Mist. And I was reading the other day how you know you live or originally from Western New York. And
yeah, it's like, you've never been on the Maid of the Mist.
You never go to Niagara Falls.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
It's like one of the seven reasons you know, and it's like, you never go to Niagara Falls.
Right.
And it's true. When it's right there, you figure you can go anytime, so you really don't. And I probably done the entire tour, and it was when I was a kid, probably twice with my parents and the Maid of the Mist. But I used to drive by it, but it's like I'd never been in the Cave of the Winds. You know, the caves, I'd never been in there.
Right.
I've never actually gone to the Canadian side where Superman jumped off and went down and rescued that. You know, that part right there. I've never been to the Canadian section, you know, right there where Superman 1 were.
Right.
Christopher Reeve, you know, dove off. And
right, Christopher Reeve, the original Superman. No, he actually wasn't the original Superman. No, I got to take that
movie,
back.
Movie. Was, yeah,
movie. Yeah, right. Theater Superman. Yeah, right.
So, no, that was...
Well, it's, you know how you know you're originally from Texas? You've never been to an execution. You know that with our death penalty. Yeah, it's just another death penalty execution. we don't actually take joy in that. That's not true.
And what did he say? The comedian
who? Ron White. A lot of states want to do away with the death penalty. In our state, in Texas, we put in an express lane.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, speaking of comedians, did you see Roseanne Barr going on tour with Dice Clay? That's a show I won't be at.
Yeah. No. Somebody, I saw another comedian recently online in an interview talking about Dice, and he did a dead-on Dice, and it was just he was having the conversation with Dice, what Dice had told him about going on tour and doing stand-up. And he did a dead-on Dice Clay. I haven't seen anything lately from Dice, but the last time I saw it, it was a lot of the old type comedy.
But,
it was old stuff.
I got 3-4 years ago, he did something from Vegas.
Yeah.
And I've never really been a fan at all. I mean, it
wasn't my thing.
It's just too filthy for. Just not what I'm into more cerebral humor.
Right.
Give me a George Carlin anytime.
Oh yeah, sure.
The late George Carlin,
Mitch
or something
Hedberg.
Like that,
yeah.
Or Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
I had free showtime.
Mm-hmm.
I watched about 20 minutes of it. I turned it off. It wasn't funny. It was almost. I'm going to try to get as intimate about body parts as I possibly can.
Yeah, right.
And I'm just like, well, this isn't funny. And you're being very descriptive.
Yeah, right.
But if this is supposed to be filthy, I find it boring because you're thinking that if you get, use crude language to describe.
If you say words that body other people parts, rarely say, that's funny. No, that's not funny.
No, I'm like this. It was like you didn't put any effort into this at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. I can understand when people use, you know, when people use profanity or sex or whatever.
But the thought behind the joke is different.
Right. It's what the thought is. You know, it's what the thought is behind it. What message you're trying. There was just no message except I'm going to try to be as filthy as I can. It was like, there's no entertainment value there for
me. I've been following the stand-up of Eddie Murphy since he was very young, and I was even younger. I remember he was on, it was Showtime, like there was this competition, stand-up comic competition, I think 1980, 81, somewhere around there. But when he came out with Raw, which went out in theaters, I went and saw it and I thought, I actually got up about, I don't know, it was about 45 minutes in. I was like, because it wasn't the Eddie Murphy that I was used to. And hence the name Raw was, you know, went, you know, rated, it was rated R, And it went a lot further. And I was like, you know, I've seen Eddie do a lot better work.
I loved Eddie Murphy, and I probably was like you when it came on. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think it came on. I saw it on HBO the first time. This goes back, what, to the 80s?
I saw it, actually. Yeah. I went to a theater and actually saw it there.
It came on HBO, and I watched, I don't know, a few minutes of it and went, I'm done. It was that never, because it was same to me, and I love Eddie Murphy, and I went, you know, what, you're doing the special, so you're decided to just
ramp it up to, you know, whatever.
You know, you didn't need to do that
to me.
But, you know, hey.
But Dice was, that's pretty much what his shtick became. I mean, it was all about just throwing out a bunch of stuff that was supposed to be shocking. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, and I think he's probably better, I think he's probably capable of writing a lot better comedy.
We got a great show ahead. There is so much to talk about.
Yes, and the Walendas are fine.
The Walendas are, yes, the Walendas are fine. They took no risk.
I hated for them because they're trying. Well, they got publicity, right?
They got paid.
They got paid. It was a show. It's just the optics of it were just kind of funny.
By the way, making fun of it as we are here, I wouldn't do that even if I had 50 harnesses on.
I wouldn't do it 2 feet above the ground.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. On the way this morning, we've got, it's a very, very busy show. The situation with Iran, where is it going? A lot of twists and turns over the weekend, was it not?
Right, yeah.
I go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it seems to be, I mean, the liberals can't get a grasp on what they want to be angry about when it comes to Iran. I mean, remember the whole Bolton thing. Well, this is going to be Bolton's war, and then it's all of a sudden it's who's really in charge this weekend? You know, who's in charge at the White House? Mm-hmm. What's going to be done about Iran? And if he had, you know, if the president had made a decision to strike, and then over the weekend he's tweeting, you know, look, it wasn't that I ordered the strike and drew back. It was moving forward, and I stopped it. They were moving toward that, and I don't know, you know, again, we'd have to get more details, but it's not like he's saying, I didn't order the strike and then say no. It didn't get to that point. They were moving toward that, and I guess his advisors of the Pentagon were going to suggest that, and he stopped it. Which, by the way, would fit right in with if he is one of these guys that does not want to get involved in foreign wars, and I think he's probably had some demonstration of that or wants to get out of foreign wars, then that would fit right within his
the problem. To me, was his explanation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You never state, I didn't want to strike because it wasn't proportional.
And
that was the mistake the White House made.
Because you're showing your hand to Iran.
They don't care.
Yeah, it's the opposite of a show of power.
Yep.
For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
We'll see another day, much like yesterday, in the central and southern plains, northern Texas, Oklahoma, into Kansas, Nebraska, over into Missouri, is where that pocket of rain will continue today as Gulf moisture is drawn up from a low pressure system in the central part of the country. 5 to 7 day rainfall totals show about 5 to 7 inches possible right in the central part of the country where Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, and Kansas all come together. It'll be very dry in the west from the desert southwest moving up through California into Washington and Oregon for the week ahead. As we begin the first full week of summer 2019, we'll keep the thunderstorms in the forecast for Atlanta today. 91 the high for New York City, 82 and sunny. Chicago, chance of thunderstorms, 80. Dallas, 92 today. Kansas City, 85. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
The Mind Meld. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Back to Gary McNamara and Eric Harley.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90-RED-EYE. Before we get to the meat and potatoes of all the current events over the weekend, well, this is actually current events over the weekend. First, you saw that Bernie Sanders wants to pay off all college loans.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, when they come up with government programs of where you would suspend a college loan, in other words, if there was in an area where there was hit by a natural disaster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you would defer the loan for a year, something like that. That's happened. But you're qualifying that based on whatever it is, the condition. But if you're looking at the $1.6 trillion, you can't just focus on the $1.6 trillion that's current. So you would say, okay, let's say they proposed that, they got it through, they passed it, it would take effect on a future date. What you're forgetting about is the people that have been under a college loan for a long time and paid it off yesterday or the month before or last year or paid their way through college by working through college. And then you have to think about the kids who work hard and they get scholarships. You know, a full ride is a big, big deal. And you look at that and say, yeah, okay, they're getting that. I'm getting what? And they have the loan that they took out. I took out a loan, or I paid my way through, or I worked hard to get the scholarship. What do I get out of it?
Well, if you're going to pay off all college loans, then college needs to be free from this point on.
Right. You can't charge because as soon as, well, it's like we said about border security. Okay. We will we'll do amnesty, but you got to secure the border first, you know, because there's going to be illegals tomorrow.
Right.
Well, with this coming here, you know, they've already secured the loans. Many of those kids that are going to be starting in the fall. And what are you going to, I mean, imagine they got it done tomorrow and then boom, and everybody was covered. Well, what about the kids next year? What about the kids in the fall? What about the kids the following semester? What about the loans, the new loans? Because what you would have to do, too, is not only do the free college. I mean, essentially, you would have to outlaw student loans. Because what you're saying is that the condition, agreement in the system is wrong.
Right.
It works against the, in this case, the students. So you would have to do away with that altogether. You know, the banks got out of it, and now the government handles all of it. But so now you say, all right, you can't continue with college loans. You can't initiate any new college loans. The banks don't want to do it anymore. They certainly can't do it anymore, but they don't want to do it anymore.
Because college loans are immoral.
Right. So you pay them off, and then what? Well, if there's no college loans, you're going to have to give everybody free college. There's no way around that.
My favorite, though, is Elizabeth Warren's gay reparations.
Yeah, okay.
That's my favorite, because now it's gay reparations. Now, get this. It's because this is to go back a certain length of time,
mm-hmm.
and because gay marriage was not allowed,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you could not file jointly,
mm-hmm.
that Elizabeth Warren believes that under the tax system, people that were together but not allowed in a gay marriage were treated differently by the tax system.
Right.
And therefore, they should get reimbursed because everybody needs to be treated the same.
That's right.
Then at this point, and I'm doing this for my friend Independent Bob, because Independent Bob, every time I see him, brings it up. There needs to be single reparations. Why is anybody who is single paying for anybody else's child's education?
Right. Right.
In property tax. They chose not to have children. They made a decision that will cost the state less. Mm-hmm. Why do they have to subsidize your children?
Right. through property tax.
Yes, right.
And how do you prove, because gay reparations, all of a sudden, a lot of people are coming out. Dude, I know we're roommates, but we're going to get a paycheck. How do you do it? How do you decide who gets it? How do you decide that in today's world? Because if someone just comes out and says, well, I'm coming out.
Why does a married couple get $24,000?
Right.
Why doesn't everybody, hey, this is my household.
Mm-hmm.
As independent Bob would say, I chose not to get married.
Right.
Why do they cost the state more because of their children? And I have to foot the bill. They get to pay less.
Yep.
I, as a single person, has to pay more.
Right.
I am running for president of the United States. I am going to be the 25th Democrat to run, and I'm going to run on single reparations.
Yep.
Single person's reparations. You know the good thing about running on that?
Mm.
Think about that if you ran on that.
Mm.
Do you know how many single people there are today as compared to even 30 years ago?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot more.
You're talking about a huge demographic out there
mm-hmm.
that... As my, you should hear independent Bob when he talks to me about it. His hands are flailing all over
yeah,
the place.
Right.
Especially Bob, why do I got to pay for?
Mm-hmm.
You want to hit a big demographic that would say, wow, somebody's finally talking about me and how fair. Yeah, where do we get to the point in this country where it's the single person's job to take care and to subsidize other people's choices?
We want Eric and Gary reparations for having to pay more taxes under the Republican tax cuts.
Well, it was funny because I wrote over the weekend when Biden came out and said, I'm going to repeal the Bush.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeal the Republican tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I said to a buddy of mine, I said, oh, he's got my vote. Why? He's repealing the tax cuts. If they repeal the tax, if they repeal the tax cuts, I'll pay less.
Right. Exactly.
Because I lost some of my deductions.
Well, I mean, you know, with
and this. And he actually wrote back. He goes, you weren't really vote for Biden. I said, have you ever, do you know me?
Yeah, right. Are you serious right now?
Right.
But, you know, with the Warren plan, how would you carry that out? You have to prove you're gay?
Well, you know, you'd be gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Your marriage would be treated, you know.
So,
oh no, you would have to. Well, that'd be an interesting thing.
Would you have to be married to same sex?
Well, how would you prove it and go back?
Right. And if it would be for the married only, what about the singles that are gay? It's a ridiculous plan, and it's only meant to appear as a champion for a cause. It's the superhero thing.
Well, we have said everybody, because we had said this during the whole gay marriage debate,
right.
Which it wasn't about what they were talking about.
No.
It was about
no.
It was about equal. It was whether it's equal protection under the law or equal treatment under the
right.
laws we
right.
talked about.
Right.
And the point was it's equal treatment. Everybody should be treated the same. And mm-hmm. we went fine. Everybody right. pay the same amount in taxes.
Same amount, not same percentage.
Not same percentage. Same amount.
Right.
If everybody needs to be treated fairly, the most unfair thing that happens in our system is the tax system,
mm-hmm.
where government doles out benefits for certain groups and makes other groups, single people, subsidize the choices of other Americans. Now, what could be more unfair than that?
We want protections for single billionaires.
By the way, by the way, I do understand the concept of it. I do understand the concept that because we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
There is no equal treatment. There's equal protection under the law in the law
right.
enforcement system.
Right.
There's no equal treatment under the law.
Right.
And if you did pass it, as we said, if that's where it's going, is that they believe it should be equal treatment, the Supreme Court now, well, then will we ever get to that point? We understand that because of the family unit, it's a morality thing. this country believes and has believed for a significant period of time that the family unit is the best way to have our society run.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tax code is to encourage that.
Right.
Is to encourage the family unit to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they do. I understand that completely.
Right.
But if we're now in the era where it's about being treated fairly, that's the only thing that matters,
mm-hmm.
then single people are getting ripped off. Single people, are you with me? I plan on announcing my candidacy as the 25th Democratic candidate for President of the United States. And I am going to address single issues, and independent Bob will be my vice president.
Yeah. Well, his hands are flailing just like Skater Bob, so, you know, clearly.
Young people. You're right. Oh,
Skater right. Bob versus independent Bob. That'll be great.
See, independent Bob, yeah. His hands are flailing all over.
Right. Except independent Bob will make sense. I saw someone with a Skater Bob sticker today. I was in traffic and I was right behind him. It was the Beto for Senate sticker on their car. The sticker was loaded with all these very liberal stickers. And I'm like, okay. Okay. 31 I counted because we were stopped traffic and I had to count it. I tried to take a picture. I was going to show it and it didn't come out. Didn't the picture didn't. I guess I didn't hit the right button. But yeah, it was. I just thought to myself, first of all, that's a lot of stickers. You thought to yourself at some point, I got 30, I need one more. But the Beto sticker, I just thought, and it's Beto for Senate, not even, does he even have any Beto for President stickers yet? I haven't seen any.
There will be bumper stickers coming out eventually.
Yeah, I'm sure. I guess.
Yeah. Now, there's only one flaw in my argument.
What's that?
An independent Bob would probably catch me on it.
What's that?
I shouldn't be running at the federal level. Should be running at the state level where property and school taxes would really get you.
Well, you would just outlaw state taxes. You know, you just forget state taxes.
Oh, I would just outlaw.
Yeah, just
the federal government outlawing state
taxes. Rights. Come on.
There'd be no constitutional issue there at all.
Not at all. States' rights? Nah, nobody needs states' rights. Come on. You want North Dakota to have rights? Please. Look, if they can talk that way,
wait,
we can talk that way.
You're right. Why am I worried about connecting all the dots? I mean, they don't.
Why are you worried about the Constitution? Nobody else is.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Thanks so much for being here this morning. We do appreciate it. Coming up following the top of the hour, the situation with Iran, the illegal immigration raids. One of the things that we have talked about in this administration is their messaging and communications.
Mm.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Friday and Saturday, I was looking at this and saying to myself, okay, what's the conclusion of this? Because as we know, it moves pretty fast. The conclusions so far, I like the conclusions. What I worry about is the messaging and the communications aspect of it.
Yeah, there's a number of things here. First of all, you know, when you talk about ICE and raids and everything else, what do you want to put out ahead of time? It's nothing new for ICE to do some kind of sweep, whether it's in an area, one town, one state, one region. The question is why would you publicize that ahead of time? Why would you talk about that? It's only for political gain to say that, you know, look, we're going to get the job done. But I think for those of us who believe the president is strong on border security, you don't have to do that. It's not necessary. You don't have to say that. I'm assuming ICE is doing their job. I'm assuming ICE will go through those, again, sweeps and times when they accelerate the deportations or roundup or whatever it might be in order to target those who are here illegally. That's a given. So I don't know the point. And I certainly don't know the point of talking about it ahead of time. Are you giving yourself, are you giving the agents, the ICE agents, a disadvantage? Because if I'm here illegally and I hear about it, it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm going to move where I am. I'm going to hide out for a while. I'm going to change locations.
Part of the Hill.com reporting that part of the other reason it was Nancy Pelosi's call, but it was also the fact that it was leaking from Homeland Security where specifically these raids were going to be.
Right. And why is that happening?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric. I'm Gary. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot.
Two major things over the weekend. The ICE raids that didn't happen and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the big picture, as we've stated before, with this president, I look to where the conclusion is. All right? I look at, okay, where are we headed? All of the show, all of the insanity to get there, I recognize, and I know it's there, but I tend to ignore it and say, what's the conclusion? Every president is different, and believe me, this president is different. So I looked and I said, okay, what did we get to? You know, what was the good? We'll look at the Iran thing, number one. What was good? Well, I think that most people, because I'm after substance, but I'm also after getting this president elected in 2020. Mm-hmm. There's two things. I want the substance. I want to be going in the right direction substance-wise and political,
mm-hmm.
in the right political direction. So I see what the conclusion is. And the conclusion is, by the time we got to yesterday, that the president, whatever the scenario was, and there's different scenarios, but at the minimum, they thought of militarily attacking and did not do it, but instead used a massive cyber attack
mm-hmm.
on the missiles and other electronic and computer systems. That, again, I saw, well, that won't have any lasting effect. Two, it's probably very effective. And I don't know, but I'm a normal person sitting out there like everybody else. I see that conclusion, and I say, oh, okay, that was a good step to take.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would look at it at the conclusion of it, and you say to yourself, okay, the world says, well, we had a morning show, and I forgot who else was saying, oh, the president showed restraint.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and you say, that's really good. You know, he found a middle ground that everybody can accept and still retaliated against Iran. Now, that's the good part. That's the conclude. That's what I care about. The political end of it is where it can be weak, because you never, as a president of the United States, with a regime like Iran, you never say, ever. You may say it internally to your own people. And the cyber response will say it on its own. But you never, and it was Trump who said it in the tweet, and otherwise, I did not do it because I didn't want anybody to die, and it wasn't proportional.
Right.
You never, ever say that to a regime like Iran. You just
showed your hand.
You don't do it. That's the bad part. That's the bad part that says, oh, okay. And because what the media was pounding on him saying, because as far as the story went initially that I was thinking of like Failsafe, the movie.
Right, yeah.
You
right.
know, that the bombers already are in the air, the missiles are in the air, and mm-hmm. the bombers are ready, or they're all ready to go, and we're 10 minutes from attacking them. I hear it from that, and then I hear, no, it never went that far.
Right.
It doesn't really at that point matter what the reality is. None of that should have ever leaked,
nope.
number one,
nope.
ever. Nope. Nobody should know anything of what you're doing until the attack happens. And on the cyber thing, you could have just said, we're looking at all of our options, and then when the cyber attack happens, that's when you leak that. And then when you're asked questions, you say, yes, we did respond on a cyber attack. And you don't brag about it, but you announce it in the Pentagon, you know, when it leaks first. And then you hold a press conference the next day at the Pentagon. And you announce, you know, this is what we did. And we believe it had this type of damage. And this is just the first thing if they don't behave. But you never, when you're dealing with a regime like Iran, you never say, ever, we wanted the attack to be proportional back. Even if that's what you want, you never say that.
Right.
Because you want them to think that life doesn't matter. That their lives don't matter. Even if they do, you don't let that out of the bag. Ever. Not when you're dealing with the regime like Iran, because as soon as they go, oh, that's his limitation, doesn't want anybody to die because he knows that the world won't like it. Now, the fact is, with the cyber attack afterwards, that might have had a great effect. And like I said, I love the conclusion of it. But getting there was an extremely bumpy road. And in order, what people want in a situation like this, because if you said nothing and nothing leaked and you did the cyber attack and then that was leaked out by the New York Times and then you held the press conference, people would have said, good, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they decided to do a massive cyber attack instead of sending a missile. And at that point, you say, we believe that this was the right thing to do. And we now hope they come to the table so they know. Because people believe, and this is where you explain to the people, Eric, you tell them, our military just isn't about destroying things and blowing it up. We have other effective ways of defending our airspace and crippling the defenses of Iran through cyber warfare. So we're ready to take this on in a variety of different ways. And so, like I said, when you think about the end conclusion, we didn't even talk about this in our pre-show meeting, but that's what I came to. And I'm thinking to myself, I think most people would see the end of the, if it just happened and the conclusion of it, go, that was really good.
Sure.
That's really good. I mean, that's a president who's thinking. And I'm sure he was. He was thinking because they did that on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So they had done that already.
Right. Yeah, it is. When you show your hand in terms of, especially in terms of Iran, a nation like Iran, when you're showing your hand, what you're not willing to do, expect that there's going to be another test. Expect that there's going to be, and we get back to the attacks in four different areas, four different missile launches, and I say attacks. They didn't actually do damage, but they came close to those sites where Americans were working.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to send the message. That was to send the, we know where the Americans are. We know your drones are here. We're going to take one down. We know Prime Minister Abe from Japan, how dare you come in and sit down with us and tell us what we need to be doing with America. We'll show you while you're actually sitting here, and we'll take out two tankers that has your freight on it. There is zero reason to ever show your hand. In fact, you will say the only thing you need, you don't even need to say this. But the best thing you can say is all options are on the table, and this isn't over.
Right. This is just the beginning. So, again, I love the conclusion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rhetoric that came out, I mean, they upped the rhetoric. I think they realized they made a mistake, and the president made a mistake because they really upped the rhetoric that they're willing to take on Iran on Sunday.
Right, yeah.
And I think they ought to promote more. You know, Fox News had the director of Defense Intelligence Agency that told Fox News the best way you're making an impact. That it's really the reason that, and we talked about this last week, the reason that Iran is talking or is reacting like this is because the economic sanctions are having an effect on them. And what you do is you hope the United States will attack you in order to unite the people behind you, because the people are getting ticked off because, as the Defense Intelligence Agency director said, they're now approaching a recession on it.
Right.
And so slowly the United States is whittling away. You've had this opportunity. We understand that some of our allies wish to continue doing business with Iran. But the point is, politically, you have to start whittling them away. And the president, by what he did, the conclusion here, by doing the cyber attack, you look at that and you say, okay, that's a really good way. And now we see where we go from this particular point. And they're making it known. Look, that's just, we have no problem. The president was saying it yesterday. Pompeo was saying it yesterday. We'll go after them big time.
Oh, yeah. They cannot have nuclear capabilities. Yeah,
they think we're not willing to militarily strike them, well, they've got the wrong impression.
Right.
Well, that should have always been, that narrative should have never been dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And when the president said that, I went, bad move. You never make that statement to a country like Iran that, oh, you know, we didn't think it would be proportional and people would die.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know what story to believe as to exactly what the scenario was, but it was portrayed that, well, this president at the last minute decided not to do it just because of lives 10 minutes before, because that's what we were being told. I'm like, what's true on this and what isn't true? And the question is, the president should have been thinking about the deaths in the initial meeting. Why did it go to 10 minutes before? You don't want to give anybody that type of narrative, especially militarily speaking, with the president for the most part, because the story's still being written. But for the most part, has been, in my opinion, okay on foreign policy.
Well, it's very simple with Iran. They have fully demonstrated who they are in recent weeks. We're the U.S. All options are on the table. Iran and the rest of the world should know we are in full control here.
Cyber attack happens. It gets leaked. The media starts talking about this massive cyber attack. Yep. The Pentagon, has a press conference and talks about what they can tell you about it and has a major effect. And look, this is just one of the things in the arsenal that we can use.
And it's not over.
Yes.
And we will not only defend ourselves, we'll stop Iran from doing anything like they've done in recent weeks. Make no mistake, we're in control. Yep.
But I like the conclusion.
Right,
I like where we got to, and I like the rhetoric that was thrown out yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and if the president wishes to have restraint but still go after them because we have the capability to shut down their defense systems, well, let's keep that up, because I do understand how you have to have the substance of going after them, but as mm-hmm. Pompeo said, they're also, and you and I talked about this, that we're also in the process of getting the coalition behind us.
Right.
And so I understand that.
You have to build that consensus of nations.
Yes.
And that and that's part, yes, that's a given. And again, I saw on social media some of the Trump supporters, well, you know, this is him waving to be the nice guy, and he's doing like the parade wave as the president, and then all of a sudden we're in there taking out their cyber systems and making sure we're disabling a lot of the tools that they use. But the first one isn't necessary.
Yeah.
In fact,
right.
You don't, because when you say all options are on the table as commander-in-chief from the U.S., everybody knows what that means. And it is fairly neutral, actually. But you send the message that we're looking at everything, and then when this cyber attack happens, you're sending the substance of that message in reality. It played out. It worked. And it's not over.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on summer driving. Your truck can face operational challenges in warm weather, so it's important to have a maintenance plan in place to adapt. Brakes are an area that deserves special attention. Combining hot brakes with a road that's baked in the sun all day can cause the brakes to malfunction and increase the possibility of an incident. With heavier traffic and more drivers towing campers and boats during summer vacations, you may find yourself stopping or slowing more than usual on the highway. Slow down and give yourself more space between the vehicle ahead of you. Not only will you be safer, but you can save your brakes in the process. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now.
800-73- It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. So yeah, when I think the belief is, and the reality is, not the belief, but the reality is, the sanctions are really hurting Iran, and the president plans on putting in more.
Yep.
Look, this is something that under the Obama administration that you could have done, or maybe previous administrations, but it's because we are producing so much oil where we don't worry about Iran's oil anymore.
Right.
We used to, but we don't, and it's made it. We said a couple things. The fact that we can produce oil and natural gas and be the world leader will also mean that many of these Middle Eastern countries have to develop an economy outside of oil in order to survive. And in order to do that, you have to accept other people's culture. You're going to be involved in trade. Right. You have to do that. Well, it's Kushner, his son-in-law.
The
whole thing that I don't know. I haven't examined the deal yet, but the whole thing about bringing economic development to the Middle East that was introduced late last week.
Right.
So we'll talk more about that coming up, and about the ICE raids that didn't happen, all coming up, plus your calls and comments if you'd like to get in. 866-90 Red Eye.
You know, and that thing with Kushner in the Middle East, we've already heard that from the Saudis. The Saudis have run into a number of issues since then, but they do know in general they have been talking about the what they are going to have to do for an economy, because they've basically been a one-item economy forever. And that's the case for most OPEC member nations. There, you talk about their exports. Their exports are, it goes down to energy. It comes down to oil. And when the U.S. is in control, and this, we've been saying this for years, going back to the whole drill, baby, drill thing, and now we're at that point. Through technology, through innovations, we're seeing that ramping up of energy development and production. And we're the king. And because we're the king, they're going to have to come around. The Middle East is going to have to come around. And when Iran gets out of line, it's not going to have the same impact that it would have, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago. When OPEC member nations really kind of ruled the roost and controlled the markets, and anything would send the markets into turmoil, especially what an Iran has done in recent weeks. So I think right now we're in a great position. That's something the administration needs to, again, reiterate and reinforce and say, Iran is not in control. We are.
Of civilization, you can listen live on our app, in your app store, or redeyeradioshow.com. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Now on the ICE raids that didn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
This whole debate should be, the entire debate on illegal immigration, all of it, should be focused at the Democrats 24/7, 365.
Yep. They're calling for open borders.
Nothing else should be brought into it except the Democrats and what they are doing. Because if you saw what they were saying over the last couple of days, we can't be punishing illegal immigrants that are here in this country illegally. To send them back is wrong. The administration needs to be out there and confront every single one of them and say that they're for open borders, they're for open borders, they're for open borders. Every one of their surrogates should be out there saying they're for open borders, they're for open borders, they're for open borders. The president does not need to announce ICE raids. In fact, that's the last thing you wish to do is announce ICE raids.
Right.
And he made a big production of it over a week before the raids were supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, what's he really going to do? He can only do... You know, we didn't increase the force of ICE. Aren't they doing this anyway? That's what you and I asked.
Right,
why are you making
right.
a big production? Mm-hmm. We thought that if you were supposed to be deported and the orders were there to deport you because you'd gone through the entire process, I thought ICE was doing that anyway.
Right.
As you said in our pre-show meeting, you said right. that to me. You said, I thought
I'd
do
it. Well, I always assume that there'll be a number of operations underway and planned. Whether it's a town or an area, a state, a region, or whatever it might be, that's part of it. You would have a sweep every once in a while in order to send a message. That's actually, a lot of the time, that's actually what you're trying to do. Whether it's to employers or to individuals in certain areas. But, you know, the president over the weekend, you know, tweeting at the request of Democrats... First of all, what? At the request of Democrats. Politically, I don't care a rat's tail about what the Democrats asked you to do. I have delayed the illegal immigration removal process, deportation, for 2 weeks to see if the Democrats and Republicans can get together to work. You could have started there. I want lawmakers to get it together. If they get a deal done in 2 weeks, great. But first of all, you don't. And now you're saying, okay, I'm giving illegals another 2 weeks to move, to get out of the area, to do whatever, to change the location. Or
I'm going to delay ICE doing their job of the people that I just stated this entire past week.
Right.
Are the ones
yes,
that should
all the
be
above, right?
all the ones that should be deported because they have gone through the entire legal process and the deportation orders are there to remove them from the country.
What,
and what
they're
right. and what he said was to Democrats, well, keep negotiating and I won't enforce the law.
A couple of things there politically. The Democrats believe that an ICE, especially if you're publicizing all of that, they're like, okay, great. We don't care if you have a bad economy. We don't care if you're publicizing ICE, because our site is calling for the end to ICE.
Oh, and that happened over the weekend.
Right, right. More marches, right, and protests, you know, abolish ICE, the whole thing. So our party can sit on our hands, and you can promote even. You're going to go out of your way to promote immigration enforcement through ICE. Go ahead, because politically it works for our side.
Well, he just took the negotiating point that, all right, if you're willing to negotiate, I won't enforce U.S. law.
Right.
That's not a and by the way, where did I get this from? Go to and one of the most loyal factions of the president has been the Ann Coulter faction.
Right.
They're just absolutely livid about this. Does the president really wish to even, because they're not, he's not talking about, he's not talking about doing something that's unprecedented.
Right.
These are the number one head of the line illegal immigrants in this country, mm-hmm, that have gone through the entire legal process and have orders for deportation and are hiding somewhere. These aren't sweeps of just finding illegal immigrants.
Right.
These are specific to that. And the president said, all right, my negotiating point is I won't enforce the law if you're willing to negotiate. Well, they're not going to negotiate on, there is going to be no negotiations on the fact of I should be deporting people that should be deported.
Right.
What, are they going to negotiate that that's not going to happen anymore?
Right.
This isn't about migrants. This is a completely different thing. And they were just going crazy saying this president has wimped out completely, right, on illegal immigration by doing that, by cooperating with. Now, thehill.com had a story saying, okay, that's not all, though, the Nancy Pelosi thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how the president portrayed it.
Right.
But they said that. And I don't look, when you put so much attention on something as the president did, which should just be normal activity, should be going on. I should be deporting people that should be deported.
That's the entire role
That's
of ICE.
Why they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make such a big to-do out of it. The left went crazy. I'm sure the media was trying to find whatever they could. And then it started leaking the specifics of where the raids were going to be and what they were going to do. And TheHill.com reporting, that's why they nixed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't promote the dang thing.
Right.
Just do the job.
Right.
And so what happens? Then the video comes out of that lawyer arguing the legal points,
mm-hmm,
about what children should have. Horrible video to come out. Terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't win that one. But the debate is not, the debate is not whether we should take care of children in a migrant status. Now, that's one debate that the Democrats will not solve. They will not solve that problem. They don't wish to solve that problem. But that's where the president and the Republicans should come out and say from day one, we provide whatever people need, they get.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever children need, they get. You publicize the daylights out of it. And when it doesn't happen, you're the first to object to it, because your goal is not to demonize the children. Your only goal is to demonize the Democrats, who are the representatives of the American public that want open borders and will not solve this problem of the migrant situation.
Right. The messaging is completely.
It's, and well, in a weekend where you should win big time,
all the energy goes to the opposition. They want, yep, open borders. We're working right now on the asylum issue on the borders, and we know what's going on, because the cartels are pairing two adults with children, these mock families, sending them across the border in order to create a distraction in that region, so they can get their drugs across somewhere else.
And by the way, the president did, here's the thing, he did do a good job in some of the interviews promoting all that.
Yeah.
But you can't do one thing and then do the interview where you say, well, this is what we really mean.
Hmm.
don't publicize things that shouldn't be publicized. Just do it. And then if there's an outcry...
Let ICE do their job.
Right, let ICE do their job. And then if afterwards it comes out that there were ICE raids, then have ICE explain it. And the White House can explain, these are people that were supposed to be deported. We're doing our job. The American people go, yay. And the Trump supporters go, yay. You win the substance of it, and you win the political end of it. And that's what you wish to do. You wish to win the substance of the argument and the politics of the argument.
Mm-hmm. Less is more, actually, in this case. People know where he stands on the border.
Yes.
You're not trying to prove anything.
Well, there was the Ann Coulter faction, which is a significant portion of the president's base,
mm-hmm.
which was furious because the deal never went through, are now saying, see, we told you he's a wimp on the border. Mm-hmm. And they were part of his most loyal constituency. And so I look at this White House right now and I say, who's running it?
Mm-hmm.
And right. I actually had to say over this past weekend to bring up a Tucker Carlson from a month ago, Mr. President, do you really want to win in 2020?
Right.
You've got millions of people that wish you to win. You've got that support at the rallies. Do you wish to win?
Right.
Do you have the discipline and the authority and the organization that you need to not only win the substance of the issue, but the politics and the messaging of the issue? And it wasn't a good weekend.
No, it was not.
No, it was not a good weekend for the president.
It's on both fronts, Iran and border security. The less is more works for you. All options are on the table. We're in control. Make no mistake whatsoever on Iran. And when the cyber attack comes out, when that comes out, everybody will be reassured we're doing something. And very significant action here. On border security, the people know where I stand. We're going to fix this asylum issue on the border. And we're also going to stay focused on deportation. That's the job. That's the role of the federal government. And that's the role of ICE.
Well, the illegal immigration issue is the easiest one to win with the American public.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans have been blowing it for the longest time. And the administration, who has the support of the American people, is just horrible at the messaging of it.
Yep.
Still today, horrible. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Love to hear from you.
Please, give us a call. The president had, I think, a great launch of his campaign, official launch of his campaign. The energy was there. I think it was even bigger than, a month ago in that same state in Florida. And there is a lot that the president has going for him. The last thing you need to do is shake your base. I'm not sure. Was that a bad 90s song? Shake your base? It might have been. I think the idea, though, of reassuring your base and then building that base out, that's the idea. On Iran, on border security, on all things, but the one thing domestically that he owns is border security. We said this in 2016 when he was running for the first time. He owned it. And it was the first time that any Republican really made it an issue. So I think of it this way. It's like if a Republican at some point, this year or next year or 2024 or whatever, made went back to the national debt, it being an issue, and then was able to gain support as a result of focusing on that, it would be good because the party itself has been lacking. The party itself on border security for many years had been lacking. But in 2016, candidate Trump owned that issue. There's no need. I said weeks ago, this is his election to lose on a number of things. Tariffs, you can get those off the table. You can restart the economy. You can get the economy going as best as it can be. And that's the one thing you can control right now in the economy. Other factors you cannot. So that gives you the advantage there. That's in your control. Well, border security and messaging, the same thing.
Well, what was the president negotiating, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what he's.
I have no idea.
I don't know what he's negotiating. Okay, we're not going to have ICE deport people who should be deported because the Democrats said they're willing to talk.
Well, about what? What are they going to offer you?
What are they going to? Are they going to offer you something where you're going to come back and say, okay, we're no longer going to deport illegal immigrants that need to be deported?
Are they going to give you a wall? And I don't mean like a few billion for a wall. They're going to fund the wall. That's not going
to
happen.
Well, are they going to fund the wall and then you're going to agree not to deport illegals?
Right.
What was he negotiating? I mean, that's what sent and these are the most loyal Trump supporters. What is he doing? What's he negotiating?
Well, and you know, forget about what they're offering. What's the ask? Politically, for the president, what's the ask of the Democrats? What are you asking them for? Make that very clear.
Right.
We can end this asylum, you know, problem, and we can shore up our borders, and I want whatever it is, $10 billion for the wall, $25 billion for the wall. What's the ask?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Pilot Flying J Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. By the way, the best comment of the weekend, in a bizarre way, in a delusional way, was Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota.
Hmm.
Agreeing with Ocasio-Cortez on concentration camps because it fits the general definition. When you think about the definition, I would say these are camps and people are being concentrated inside of them. So that's the general definition. What an idiot.
Wow.
What an idiot. It's just getting to the point of complete and total bizarre world.
You know, I guess the pendulum, we used to say the pendulum would, you know, goes back and forth. And on some issues it does, but on the far left, on the crazy stuff, it does not. These days it just goes, they go full on and they keep going. You don't see the walking back anymore of something. You see the fumbled clarification, attempt at clarification every once in a while. But the far left is just pushing further and further left. And why is that? They feel empowered. They feel empowered for a number of reasons. You go back to the Republicans laying down. I don't know how long the Republican Party has been laying down on items. But they've been moving further left and allowing the left to get away with everything they're getting away with. So why wouldn't they keep pushing further and further to the left? they created this generation or two of individuals that believes that nothing is earned. It is just yours because you exist, that you don't earn, you don't work, you don't do anything for, you're not doing anything for your country. Your country should be giving you something. And when you have a Biden that is out there and trying to, I don't know, muddle his way through a primary, really, he knows. if he's not aware of the far left right now and the shaming of you based on where you are, whether it's the Hyde Amendment or whatever it is, then frankly, he shouldn't be doing anything in the public, much less running for president these days, because he's absolutely clueless. But he does know. He knows where they are. Nancy knows where they are. Feinstein knows where they are with a gang of 8-year-olds in her face on the Green New Deal. But this is the Democratic Party of today. AOC, they are in control. She is
the leader of the Democrat Democrat party. You mentioned Biden. See him over the weekend. I'm paraphrasing here, but well, you didn't see the entire quote. I mean,
right,
I was taken out of context.
Yeah,
on that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You weren't.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. No,
he's gonna walk into this debate, and he's not going to at all apologize for his relationships with segregationist and racist.
Right.
Well, does he realize what party he's in?
Well, does he realize what year he's in? You know? I mean, that's where they are. The only coveted endorsement right now on the left is that of AOC. Good luck with that. But what do you do? My question is, where the party will be, well, about a year from now, getting close to the convention and having things lined up to ramp into the general election. What is it going to look like? From 2016 until now, you're talking about, from the election at least, but you go back to the campaigning of 2016 and the issues that were on the table. But the far left has ramped it up to a whole new level in just 3 years. Where will they be a year from now going into the summer and the convention season?
You know, you and I talked about the fact that if this was a presidential candidate, if Trump would have said what Biden has said, he would no longer be the candidate. And people might say that's a hypothetical, but remember, why did former U.S. Senate Majority Leader Republican Trent Lott resign? Because he praised 1948 presidential candidate Strom Thurmond. And they called for his head, Democrats and media outlets, at the 100th birthday party for Mr. Thurmond way back then, for Strom Thurmond. And this goes back to what? This goes back to 2002.
Yeah. Wow.
And because of that, he had to give up his leadership post. There's still a double standard today. Complete double standard. As we said, a Republican could not get away with that. How come a Democrat can?
Right.
But you're right. If they're willing, and by the way, Ocasio-Cortez isn't, she's not backing off at all from the concentration camp.
No, not at all.
And everybody knows it's a completely delusional comparison, but it doesn't matter. As leader, remember, she's not, the Speaker of the House,
but right. she is
not
the
an
leader.
Official leadership
right.
role, but
not an official. But
she's
she
the
is the leader
she's the
of
face.
The Democrat Party.
She's the coveted endorsement. That says it all. Tell me who else in the party right now is. Who? No one. Local endorsements, because that will mean something going into the primary. You know, you want to have something on the state level, but that's not the point.
No, no.
The point is the who in the Democratic Party right now is the coveted endorsement.
Well, we said normally
she's the only one.
Yeah, normally the biggest endorsements are, you know, you've defeated that candidate, and
right.
that candidate then throws their weight behind you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Elizabeth Warren, do you want Biden's endorsement?
Right. Well, that's a good point.
If you're...
Because if this goes further and further, and this is what his association with segregationists, is that if that's what brings him down, if you can point to that by this time next year, who wants the endorsement? Who wants him at the convention at all?
Does Biden want the endorsement of an Elizabeth Warren? He's trying to win an election where he knows he believes he can't win an election if he has to pretend that he will not be as radical as the crazy Democrats.
Right.
Obviously, that's why he has the support right now and had a big lead and still has a relatively big lead, getting smaller. And that's because not that people agreed with him, but they believed he was electable. Democrats believe he is electable, is the most electable, and all they want is Trump out. But when it gets to the general election, let's say, you know, Biden's standing at the end, does he want O'Rourke's endorsement? Does he want not? I don't believe he'd get Ocasio-Cortez's endorsement. She doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
She right. doesn't need him. He needs her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you make a great point. How crazy will they go?
Where are they by the time? Because I think it's a given that AOC will have a primetime slot on stage at the DNC next summer. Now I'm wondering if she has the primetime slot right before introducing the nominee, essentially. Right? And if it's Biden, how does that work? How does that work?
You know, funny thing is, I did chuckle over the weekend. I saw an Obama tweet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the Obama tweet was on?
Mm.
Congratulations to the U.S. women's soccer team.
Okay.
I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah.
This is just so,
yeah.
He's out of it. You don't
right,
hear
right, right.
anything from him. Nobody wants his endorsement. Nobody
nope.
is talking about him.
Nope.
Nobody is saying I will continue the Obama administration. Not even Biden is saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Except,
I don't even
except
see
the
him,
friendship.
I don't even see him hanging out with the jet setters, the celebrities, like he was when he first left office. You know, there were a lot of people that were, you know, around him and the podcast thing, the Netflix thing, even that's kind of died away. It's not the excitement. But then you think of, like, now we know with Hillary and Bill, we know what's going on there. After hashtag Me Too, actually before hashtag Me Too, you had young reporters approaching Hillary. And at that point, Debbie Wasserman Schultz basically shut it off and said, no more access. And they built a wall around her. Well, now you have, and it's not the same thing for the same reason, but there's no reason to have Obama. My question is why? Why? Why would you not? You know, the whole thing about, like, in our state, turn Texas blue, right? So you have, and there is a pretty good migration of younger demographic coming here for jobs in North Texas, in our area. And they're living in these red districts and counties. And so that has happened, but the effort is there. Texas is solid red as we speak. But if you were looking to turn Texas blue, why wouldn't Beto want Obama? Why? He's, you know, Beto's the liberal.
I know.
If you're saying, well, we can't have the liberal ex-president here in the state because he wasn't as popular, but he was popular with the people that you're trying to motivate. Right?
Apparently not. He didn't want him.
And my question is, why? There hasn't been a scandal. It's not like Bill. You know, Bill became...
No, there's been scandals. Nobody's talking about him, though.
Yeah, well... but they not scandals they consider to be important Obama.
Well, they don't consider any scandal to be important.
Well, I mean, hashtag me too was important. You know, and of course, they were asking Hillary questions, tough questions about Bill's behavior in the past. So, you know, that became very apparent.
Well, those are the people that wanted Bernie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, but it was still a split in their party. That's the whole point. Where's the split in the party for Obama? It's just that it went away.
Yeah. He's not relevant anymore.
For Republicans in any state, yeah. Ours or any other state, we know why that endorsement doesn't mean anything, but we're not going to vote for Beto or any liberal anyway.
It's what happens when you run as a rock star.
Exactly.
And you don't have much substance behind you,
right.
And you don't wish to have substance, and you run on a slogan. Well, then after you're gone, your hits are over.
Right.
Nobody cares anymore.
Right.
And nobody shows up at your shows.
You're not useful anymore.
Maybe 30 years from now they will.
Yeah, maybe. Do an oldies tour. The Stones kicked off their tour the other day in Chicago. I saw some pictures from it. I'm sorry, man, but I got to know what Mick Jagger is eating and drinking and everything else after heart surgery. And he's like back at his A game. And I'm thinking, look, if I get a cold, if I have allergies, it's going to take me a year to recover. It's pretty amazing to watch it. But, yeah, maybe the Obamas will do an oldies tour here in a few years.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So this came out yesterday. Senator Bernie Sanders will propose today eliminating all, not partial,
mm-hmm.
all student debt held in the United States. He is proposing that the federal government pay to wipe clean the student debt held by all 45 million Americans, including all private and graduate school debt.
Hmm.
As part of a package that would also make public universities, community colleges, and trade schools tuition free.
Yeah.
Everything will be free. He's proposing to pay for these plans with the tax on Wall Street, which he said will raise more than $2 trillion over 10 years.
Okay.
Though some tax experts give lower revenue estimates.
Well, because when you change, when the government enacts a disincentive, which is a higher taxation, the behavior of that targeted group is going to change.
Sanders will be joined today by Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota to mm-hmm. talk about this new tax mm-hmm. and also maybe Omar to field some questions on her tax situation from
her previous marriage.
Okay.
Introduced legislation in the House to eliminate all student debt in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, which means no more student loans for anybody else in the future.
It would have to be, yeah, right. Because they would make all trades. But then again, they said they can't dictate private universities, but would you forgive then or pay? Why would you just make public universities free? Why not private?
Right.
Because you're forgiving private loans, so even private loans must be immoral.
Right, exactly. The idea, because it's the burden on the student. Well, why does that not apply to a private college?
So, you know, we talked about this. Bernie's upped it now to all.
Yes, everybody.
All college debt gone.
He sees his numbers dropping. You have to add to the promise, right? Here is your forecast.
We'll see another day much like yesterday in the central and southern plains, northern Texas, Oklahoma, into Kansas, Nebraska, over into Missouri is where that pocket of rain will continue today as Gulf moisture is drawn up from a low pressure system in the central part of the country. 5 to 7 day rainfall totals show about 5 to 7 inches possible right in the central part of the country where Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, and Kansas all come together. It'll be very dry in the west from the desert southwest moving up through California into Washington and Oregon for the week ahead. As we begin the first full week of summer 2019, we'll keep the thunderstorms in the forecast for Atlanta today. 91 the high for New York City, 82 and sunny. Chicago, chance of thunderstorms, 80. Dallas, 92 today. Kansas City, 85. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about why nobody wants to associate with Obama, and I didn't think that would generate, you know, interest just because we've talked about it before. It has. Let's go to a couple of folks here. We got Bill in Knoxville, Tennessee. Billy, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing?
Very good.
Yeah, I was just wondering if this investigation that's going on into the intelligence community, if it goes all the way to the top, you think these candidates for Democrats are, waiting to see what happens with that before they get buddy up with Obama?
I don't know what they're thinking. I would probably say I doubt it because they are so delusional still into promoting that Trump colluded and committed obstruction of justice that I believe their delusion is still all encompassing. I think that somebody who is a critical thinker that you seem to be, Billy, would think that, because I would think that, I'd say,
it's a good reason to disassociate.
Yeah, how close do I want to get with this all, you know, maybe crashing down on us?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's more likely what Eric has said before, and I believe he's one of the first to come out of it, that the Democrat Party has changed. There are no heroes anymore. Everybody is a victim.
Right.
And everybody who was a victim, the oppressors are just getting wider and wider and wider and wider. And so you view yourself as a victim of the oppression of everywhere, including the people that may not be relevant anymore, even in your own political party.
Right. Thanks, Billy. It is not, I think, at the, so here's what I wonder to add to that. I don't know if you can say that Elizabeth Warren is an old school Democrat. She's clearly far left. Biden is. Is Warren establishment? But what about everybody else in the pool? Do they covet the AOC endorsement?
I think they do.
I think Mayor Pete would.
Yeah.
I think Swalwell would covet any endorsement right now. Sorry. I expect like some kind of public service announcement for him soon. Please donate to the campaign. Don't let him be all alone. I think Kamala Harris would.
Julian would.
Julian. I almost said Joaquin. I really think they're going to tag team. I think Julian is going to announce the end of his candidacy, and then Joaquin's going to announce that he's his twin brother, identical twin brother. Please make that happen, by the way. Because how many share that with her, AOC? I'm the boss. She will. Okay, here's the thing. If it is indeed right now, and we believe it is, there's good reason to believe it is the coveted endorsement. That's further empowerment, right, for her. She's had the win over Feinstein with a gang of eight-year-olds in her office. She's had the win over Amazon in her district, the biggest company in the wealthiest company, most valuable company in the world, and the richest man in the world as the founder of that company. So she had that victory. Those victories empower her, according to their side. I know she feels empowered by them, no doubt. They give her more street cred on the far left. So the ask on the endorsement, whether it's Warren or Bernie or whoever, is going to be further empowerment. She's going to get a primetime speaking slot at the convention. So I guess it's, beyond that, how many want to really associate with her, given the gaffes and given a number of things, or do they not care about that? Do they believe that it just rolls off, that the constituents on the far left don't care, or even more so, think like she does and don't think there's anything wrong with what she's saying?
I am constantly amazed on social media, the people on the left willing to have a debate about how smart AOC is. I'm thinking to myself, you really wish to get into that debate? You know you're going to get destroyed. Oh, I did like the meme over the weekend that said the Democrat 2020 platform, and it shows Ocasio-Cortez right next to it smiling, and it says, free college, free health care, free money, no more children, no more cows, no more cars, no more planes, no more trains, no guns, no gender, no God.
We're not even to the convention. We still have over a year to go to the convention.
but you sit there and you go, well, that's an exaggeration.
Where?
Not really.
Where?
Where?
Where's the exaggeration? We can add to the list, actually.
I know.
No borders.
No borders. Mm-hmm. No borders.
Right.
Okay. And when you think, this is what frustrates us. When we, for example, when we saw over the weekend the administration and the ICE raids, which we just thought personally that they've embarrassed themselves in the communications of it. Because, and all you have to do, you don't look at the left. You look at the right. You see the Ann Coulter faction of the Republican Party that just went, what in the hell is he doing?
Right.
He just said he will negotiate with the Democrats. And he will hold off ICE not doing anything new. He will tell ICE not to do their job for the next 2 weeks because the Democrats are willing to talk. Well, what do you mean? Then are you going to tell the Democrats that you're not going to continue to deport people who should be deported?
What was the point in, you know, what was the point in that? But we've talked about how frustrating it is. And just not the administration. It's been the Republican Party over the last few years. But think about that. When you see that meme, for example, and you think about if you were in public relations and you were in marketing, wouldn't you see a gold mine? Why aren't there ad agencies all over the Republican Party saying, are you idiots? Give me $100 million. You'll never lose again.
Right. Yeah.
Because the president on the issues, the Congress on, or the Republicans on the issues, have it slam dunk. The people of this country support them on the issues. But for some reason, they don't seem to support them as the people to implement those issues that they agree with them on. And many of them say, well, even though we agree with the issues, we'd rather vote for the people who disagree with us because they are more delusional and seem nicer.
Well, when you start a tweet over the weekend, you know, from the president at the request of the Democrats. I'm sorry, what? At the request of the Democrats. Since when are they running your show? Yep. I know they own the House. I know that. But you've got the Senate and the White House. You've got wins. This is the most frustrating part. You've got the wins already.
I know.
On major things. You win on this issue. You don't need them. They're losing. You need to say, the Democrats want to sit down, but let me remind you of what they want. They want open borders.
Yep.
So I don't know what they're going to ask for, but I want a wall, and I want to, right now, I want to solve this asylum issue at the borders that our agents are having to deal with at the hands of the cartels.
This weekend reminded me of what you and I have said all the time. I don't care what political campaign it is. The Democrats are consistent on their delusional ideas and keep promoting them day in and day out. The Republicans are all over the place. And this administration is all over the place with scatterbrained messaging consistently. And it's so frustrating because the American people agree with them on the issues. Consistency and repetition in your message over and over and over again. You can't be over here Monday and by Friday you're 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
Right.
And that's the problem that this administration has. And anybody who is a Trump supporter knows that's his biggest weakness. And that's the most frustrating thing about this president is on the issues, Americans agree with him. That's been, by the way, that's been, it hasn't just been since this president, Romney.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans under Romney, the people agreed landslide with Romney. Obama got elected president.
Right.
We don't agree with Obama on the issues, but they're delusional, but they seem nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, you can market much better. You can market your message much better, and they don't. It's the biggest weakness. It's not the substance of what they believe. It's how they market it.
Yep.
Nothing in this immigration thing should be on children not having the supplies that they need. That should never come up in this debate. The debate should always be focused on the Democrats, your representatives, American citizens want open borders and insanity on the border. They don't care about you. That's where the message should be.
Right. We're a nation of laws. They don't want that. Because if you have no borders, if it's open borders, which is no borders, then what laws do count?
The debate should never be about migrant families in detention and toothpaste. If there isn't enough supplies for them, The president should say, we don't have the money. Democrats, come. We wish to solve this. The Republicans and the administration should be first and saying and promoting the fact these people are on the border. They need help. They're going through the migrant process. Mm-hmm. We wish to change it because it's wrong. But the Democrats won't give them the supplies. Don't give them a head start. They don't have the moral high ground on anything when it comes to illegal immigration.
You win across the board.
And it's just, it is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
More of your calls and comments coming up, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Of course, it's the Monday show, and Monday and Fridays, it's like we're finishing up the week on a Friday and a Monday. We're just beginning the week after being off 2 days, so there's a million topics. We did bring up the fact that Bernie Sanders today is going to offer and propose a bill that will be introduced into the House to cancel all student debt and make all college at public universities free and trade schools.
Yeah. So the problem with that is you're going to leave a whole lot of people out.
I already got the message. Well, what about people that paid their student loans already? How far back will the college loan reparations go?
What I was asking earlier. Okay, so it's effective. Let's say they pass it, right? They were to get it passed. It's effective September 1st this year. Somebody pays their college, they just paid their college loan off a few months before that. And they paid and paid and paid and paid and paid. Did the Obamas pay their college loans off? Remember when they went into the high school, when the White House, when they were still paying on student loans. Remember that thing?
Couple of speeches afterwards.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, pardon me. It's like the Clintons. I get all choked up when I talk about the Clintons. Sorry. I get all emotional. Remember what was it? Okay, Hillary said, what did she say? We weren't rich, or we were broke when we left the White House or something. I forget what it was, what the claim was. It was just so
close,
stupid.
It was close to that.
Yeah, we were, you know, we really didn't have much money. Like, yeah, go with that. But in this case, you're going to leave an entire large group of people out that won't get theirs. And I wonder how that resonates with them.
And we'll get some calls and comments on the whole college loan thing coming up.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.